need a man who's got it made. Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday.
Good morning.
Good morning, sunshine.
Thank you. You've made my day.
Yeah, good. That's nice. Well, if three words can make your day, then that's a great thing.
I always loved, because my mom called me sunshine, and I'm going to say something really goofy that I haven't thought about in decades.
Okay.
She called me Cocodine.
Cocodine.
Cocodine. That was
Is that one word?
Yeah, she'd say, "Hey, Coco Dean," and I, for years, thought she made it up. And it's out of a—I should know—but it's a character out of a movie or a book or something. Coco Dean, and that was what she called me. And the third thing that she wasn't a word, but when I was upset or if she's just being affectionate, she would put my head on her lap and she would rub. She would take her fingers and just keep rubbing my hair behind my ear, just constantly like that, and it made me feel so friggin' good. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's a
Yeah,
beautiful memory.
yeah. I have some. I they are good memories. She was a good mom. So,
That's great.
so before we get started, how you doing? Everything okay?
Everything's good. Everything's good. Yeah, I've been spending some time on an organic farm doing some property care and that kind of thing, and it's been very peaceful and very rewarding. So it's been great. I feel like we're in the dog days of summer here all of a sudden. It's like middle of July. It's pretty hot, you know. You kind of just like you go out the door in a pair of flip-flops and a pair of shorts and you're just like, oh boy. But I like that. I like the summer. You know, I'm a July baby, as you know, and I've always loved the ocean and the beach, and so I like this time of year. It's nice.
I'm not a summer guy, but yeah, I always was a fall winter guy, but the cold's starting to bug me a little bit. I'm starting to change my mind a little bit on that. So maybe it's because I'm getting very old. But
It's a lot more work.
yeah,
You dress
exactly.
up and do you know it's I don't know.
But I do love, I love, I like my sweaters. I got a
I know
Canadian
you do. You do
game,
like your
and it's
sweaters.
hard not to put them on, you know. So, but you're helping feed the masses now in some parts. So that's good. Someone's gonna buy
Yeah.
food, man. Some
Yeah,
food.
I spoke to the grandfather who came by. They've immigrated to Canada in the early 50s, and they came to the property first in 1951 or 1950, and they've never used a single herbicide or pesticide on the property in 75 years. Not one chemical has been used on that property. So
That is certified organic. Holy
totally. Yeah,
cow.
I mean, that is like the
Wow.
definition. So I know anything that I'm eating from that property is like free of anything.
That's amazing. And
Yeah.
you know, this is a different side of the farming thing, but we buy our ground beef from an organic farmer and
Yeah.
grass fed and all that. And my goodness, what a difference. Oh my goodness, it's
So
so
much
much
better.
better.
So much better. So much better for you. I mean, there's sometimes, unfortunately, there's a cost associated, which doesn't always make it as available to everyone, but certainly if you can, that's definitely the way to go.
For sure. Well,
Yeah.
you're looking good. I like your shirt.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. A couple of early birthday presents from my
Yeah, your birthday.
wonderful
It's
partner.
so you're having your birthday, but before our next podcast, right? What
Yeah,
day
is
is
it
your birthday?
Saturday? I think Saturday,
Yeah,
or
that's what I
Friday
thought.
or Saturday.
So our
Yeah.
next one will be a birthday podcast.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. You don't look your age, so you're doing very well.
I thank you. I appreciate that.
Living good, I think they say, is what it does. So.
I try. It's been a process. It is.
Now, the people around you all look 90, because living with you is a totally different subject.
100%. For many years, I totally agree. It's getting better, but I totally agree.
So we've got a really interesting subject today, and I think it's going to be, you know, I think it deserves some respect. I think it's a little tough's not the right word, but it's, you know, it's a big subject. It affects most of the world, I believe, in some way
Yeah,
or another.
absolutely.
So we're doing today, we're going to do spirituality and religion,
Yeah,
kind of how
yeah.
they intertwine, kind of their differences,
Yeah.
how we feel about them, how maybe how some great spiritual leaders, some great religious leaders. I think there's a
Absolutely.
lot to talk about. We're gonna, squeeze it all into 45 minutes to an hour. We'll see, but I really think I've always been intrigued by it,
Yeah.
and I've had so many, especially in my younger years living with my dad, so
Yeah.
many variations. Like we were Christian for a while, really Christian, and went to
Yeah.
church, and then
Yeah.
we followed the four agreements for a while, and then
Yeah.
dad was in AA for a while, and we kind of followed that for a while,
Yeah.
like whatever
Yeah.
dad's religion was, it was our religion, or our spirituality, whatever. But I'll say this to my old man, and
Yeah.
everyone knows he's been kind of, my relationship with him is fraught. My wife and him are not friends. There's some bad feelings there and all that. But I will, and even though anybody listening to this podcast knows that I've been hard on him, and he's done some stuff that I think maybe deserves a little of that, whatever. But I do think he tried very hard to find his way. I
Yeah.
think he was trying to find a path. And I think now, maybe he was doing things he knew were wrong, and then he was trying to fix them and trying to find a better way and trying to be a better man, be sober, be religious, he was a youth group leader at church. I think he tried. He was a member of religious men's groups and used to go out on these camps. And I mean, I do think he tried very hard to find his way. I'll give him that.
And I would thank you for sharing that. I would say that that's all sounds very admirable when you think about it like that, that at least he was working on his path or, what the, 'cause we all change. And to the topic of spirituality and religion, it's a process. You don't wake up one day and you're just like, oh, okay, I got it. It's not.
I don't think anybody's ever got it.
No,
And the only way to figure it out at the very end is to die. I mean, we don't really know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I was thinking of my dad as like, remember Donald Duck had the little devil and the little angel?
Yeah,
The
of
little
course.
I just think the devil won a little more than the angel, but you can't trying speaking for myself, sometimes I say this word a lot that I'm doing my best. And I'll say it may not be what other people think is right or is the best, but it's the best I can do. And my best is my best. And it might not be anywhere near what other people think is my best, but my best is the best I can do right now. That's it.
And I think ultimately your best is the only thing that is important to you, because if you know that you're doing your best, then that's really all you can do. And we went through that. I we've gone through this on the podcast as well. I had the same things with my dad after he passed away, and after I got into AA and had to make amends, that I did have to come to an acceptance because I had some resentments towards my dad. I did have to come to an acceptance that he too did his best.
Right, exactly. And I even think that about my mom. I've told you that before, how I had to change, and I know we've talked about this already, so I'm not, but I guess I got thinking about religion and spirituality and maybe death a little bit this week. My cousin picked me up the other day and took me for a drive. He knew I was a little down, some stuff going on in my life that I've talked about, and my cousin and me are really close, which I really like, because we were close as kids, we grew apart, and now we've become really good friends. And it's nice to have somebody in your family you're friends with, right? And
Course.
we see things a lot, but we also are two different people, which I also like, kind of like you and me. You don't have to agree on everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm digressing, but we went and visited some old gravestones of my family, like
Nice.
my great grandparents, and they also have their son Reginald, who died in the war driving a Spitfire, flying a Spitfire, and he's listed there, and a bunch of aunts and uncles that I used to visit as kids all the time. And it just really got me thinking about, family
Yeah.
and relationships, and then it kind of led me to spirituality, and I started thinking about religion because my grandmother was very religious, and that's kind of what brought me to this subject this week.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful tie-in. I think that like being in a graveyard is has a certain it has a spirituality to it. You feel like you're almost being invited into like past lives of people.
Isn't it strange? Like
Right.
I know they're not there, but I still feel connected when I'm close to them. Like it makes, I guess it makes you think about them. You kind of feel in their presence, and you start having old memories.
Yeah.
And we're gonna go out next time and go visit where my mom is buried, and that's where my grandparents and my cousin Kaylee, who died in that accident with dad, and so there's like I got a big connection there, and
Yeah.
it's funny, it's not something I don't think people do it, but my grandfather, like we used to go for a picnic at the graveyard. He would go down there, he'd clean up the gravestone, we'd have a little lunch and we'd hang out.
Wow. Yeah.
It wasn't a negative. It was a spiritual thing we used to
That's
do.
beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I think people, they fear death, and some people, you go to a graveyard and it's like, oh shit, the dead people, and it's like, well, we're all gonna get there. So more we can accept it and understand that it is part of life, the more you kind of be, you're free of that. And it's kind of, I think that's a beautiful thing to go and have a picnic in a graveyard. I know maybe it sounds morbid to some people, but I think it's connectedness. And there are things that we'll talk about today that I think spirituality and religion are super important for connectedness, because
Yes.
I think without them we can be very, very isolated.
Well, this is the last thing I'll say before we move on to our subject, but we were there. My cousin had this app that you can search graveyards. And we were
Wow.
standing there. And it's not a huge grave. It's in a small town in Port Elgin, right? It's very nice. They keep it up. He Googled, there was 52 Pawleys in that graveyard.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild. So
A lot of relatives,
a
past
lot of
relatives
Well, my
there,
great
yeah.
grandfather, I own a company named called William Freeman Limited. That was his name, and he used to own a store in town, and they had a beautiful home. And then, he was unfortunately an alcoholic, and he drank himself to death in 1941. And then his son died 6 months later in an airplane over in the war. So that was a
Wow.
tough year on my great grandmother for sure.
I'm sure, yeah. All right.
Have you got a definition of spirituality and a definition of religion?
I do. We'll start with spirituality. Merriam-Webster, the quality or state of being spiritual. Makes sense, right? A sensitivity or attachment to religious values, the quality or state of being concerned with religion or religious matters. And then to expand a little bit more, the quality or state of being spiritual rather than material.
Yeah, I like that.
That's kind of the one that, and then the final one from the Oxford English Dictionary is the quality of being concerned with the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things.
Wow.
That's kind of where it kind of
And
hammers home.
there's people that have done that. I mean, I always think of the Dalai Lama, but there's, it's got to be amazing to really just be connected that way, to be focus on your spirit every day
Yeah,
instead
yeah,
of, what's on sale during Amazon Prime,
yeah, yeah. To just like
Wow.
kind of be totally free of it all and just kind of like, dive into just being.
And not being forced into it, like not because you haven't got a job and you've lost everything and you're living on the street or something and you decide I'm going to be
Yeah,
spiritual, like you
yeah.
would by choice, like
Well, yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that, because if all those things did happen and then you did choose to go that way, that perhaps is somewhere where you would find some peace in it all. I don't know. It depends on the
Absolutely.
person, but
Yeah, for sure.
I'll do religion now. So Merriam-Webster, the service and worship of God or the supernatural, a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. I think that one resonates with me, and I think that one would resonate with a lot of people, because I think this is, and it was funny when you were talking about we're talking about spirituality and religion. Of course, the joke is like, if you're out at a party, or never talk about politics or religion, and here we are, we're going for it, because
Yes.
that's where that institutionalized kind of system
It's
you
very
get.
structured rules. It's very, like the Catholic religion is supposed to, I'm not picking on Catholic, I'm just saying, for example, is very structured. These are the
Yes,
prayers, these are the rules, these are
it is.
just,
It is. Yeah. Yeah, I'll just go on a little bit. A cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor and faith. So it's like it's very ardor, like it's very ordered, like you say. It's like Oxford English Dictionary, the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. a particular system of faith and worship, a pursuit or interest followed with great devotion, which I think can be seen as positive. And then I went on, and then here's the key distinction. So religion often implies an organized system of beliefs, rituals, and practices, usually centered around a higher power or deity. And then spirituality is more individual, internal, and experiential, focusing on personal growth, meaning, and connection, sometimes within religion and sometimes out of it.
Right.
Right?
I really think that describes how I feel about spirituality is it's you, it's your soul. I mean, for lack of a better word, it's your soul, and it's taking care of your soul and being gentle with your soul and figuring things out. And religion might help you get that. Like I it may be a big part of it, you know. I don't know.
And I think it's good. We've touched on this in the past, but I think there's a couple of good things that you mentioned in the start here. And I think that oftentimes we're introduced to religion when we're young.
Yes.
And I'm generalizing here. I'm talking, I this could be generational, but we're often introduced to religion when we're young, but we're not necessarily introduced to spirituality.
No, maybe the Dalai
Right.
Lama Jr. I don't know.
Yeah, but I know that you've shared some like horrific stories of like I know I remember this and I don't remember the details, but the
Oh,
movie that you
sure.
watched in Sunday school. I mean, that to me that was an example of religion gone wrong.
Wrong.
Like if that's how you have to kind of is that that's the imagery that you're putting on kids to kind of like it's just total fear.
Scare me for the next 3 decades. That's great, man. Thank you very
It's
much.
like, oh my
Scare
God.
the living shit out of me, you know. And I will not share it because it's not my, but if my wife was here as a guest, you want to hear what religion did to her as a young woman. It's unbelievable, but I won't do it. It's her story.
And look, I think it's important. And I don't always say this at the beginning of the podcast, but I think it's good to just say it now. And I think that most people know this, but these are our opinions.
Yes.
And I don't pretend for one second that they're facts. I try to do as much research but this is my opinion. I mean, we have a few kind of things that we're going to talk about today that are other people's information, which I think is important, but just because I think this way doesn't mean that
No, there's no
it's
doctor at the
just
end of my name or anything.
But
But
I
you know
think,
what? But you said, sorry, but just to jump on what you said, you're absolutely right. This is our opinions. It's nothing else. It doesn't have any grounds to say it's fact or it means
No,
that much.
no.
But honestly, Chris, the stuff you and I talk about, who can talk about any of this and not just be their opinion? I don't know. I don't care if you're a
No,
doctor. I don't
I
care if you're
mean,
an anybody. It's all just everyone's opinion,
of course, it's
you
so
know?
true. And you can sort of gather information from what we would consider experts in the field, and that's obviously a more fact-based opinion. But I guess the reason why I brought it up because I was going to say something to the effect that I think for me and probably for you that religion didn't necessarily it provided some good guidelines for me when I was younger.
Yep.
But it also created definitely some fears, which I don't think were constructive.
No, especially
And
a young mind that's so malleable, you know,
yeah, absolutely. And without the proper guidance and understanding of religion at the time, it was just something that, it was, and again, I think I want to just say, like, I think religion, of course, is a I said it before when we were talking. It's a great gateway to understanding and knowing spirituality and God and having, some tools to be a better person, live a better life, live a certain life of, of.
And And I have that terrible memory, but I have some beautiful memories. I love church at Christmas time and going and singing Christmas hymns and the way it was decorated and the feel of the building and the old dark wood
Absolutely.
and being there with my family all dressed up. And I loved that stuff. Loved it.
Absolutely. I did too. I did too. And I was in the choir at times, and I really loved what I loved about it was there was a connectedness. There's a connectedness to just the group and perhaps to God. But it was a loving connectedness. It was a like-minded, loving feeling
And
that I
that,
experienced.
I agree. And that's a religion, that's religion on a small local basis, which I think it's important for religion, in my opinion. I think religion, it's really important for like that group of people in that building to figure out what they want to talk about and what they want to be. And I think it should be done as a group, not just the minister telling you how it should be. I think, but and I don't know if we want to get there today. I don't think we do, but I also know I have an opinion that religion has caused more wars and deaths than probably anything else in the world. Like these, like everything.
There's no doubt.
Name a war that wasn't sparked by someone's belief in something that they were trying to push down someone else's throat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Crusades. I mean, I used to think of the Knights were just these honorable. I mean, they were going over to countries. If they didn't want to become Christians, they slaughtered them. I mean, that's a very basic thing. But we all know the Middle East and well, I won't say who you think I'm going to say, but
Please,
that
thank
was
you.
all
Thank you.
religious based. But I don't think that's what we're here to talk about today. I think we're talking about more on a spiritual level and more of a,
But I think to the point of where we were going with, the early foundations of religion in some of our lives, because, our parents believed that it was important, and it was important to, know the Ten Commandments if you were in Christianity,
The Lord's Prayer.
the Lord's Prayer.
We used to say it at school, Chris. Every
Well,
Friday,
so did we.
we would sit in the assembly, 500 kids, and narrate the Lord's Prayer.
So,
You wouldn't get away with that today.
no, and I think
Chance.
what happens or what has happened for a lot of people is you do it as a child because your parents make you
Yep.
kind of thing, and you do like ideally you learn some good values, but there's positive and negative in it, and then at some point, I don't know, I mean, some people obviously stay with it, but some I've found in my sort of evaluation or assessment that a lot of people leave. But then perhaps they come back, maybe when they have kids and maybe they still have that connection. And I know for me, when I ended up going back to church, I went to an Anglican church. And it just so happened that, I went to that church because of Sheila. I've talked about Sheila on the podcast, a few times. She was the minister there. And she, to me, epitomized, what beauty in religion was.
Right.
And she was because I've mentioned her, I think she was the first person that I had ever met that did not judge. That like truly you could do or say or whatever and you would feel no judgment. And my God, I just like it makes the hair on my arm stand up just right now saying it because like imagine a world where we all lived like that. It was unbelievable, and we lost her. She died, at a young age, and I don't know. In a lot of ways, I came to understand after the fact that that was God's will for her. But she touched so many people in such a wonderful and beautiful way. And so when I went back to church, it was a place of great spirituality for me. It was just a peaceful. It was a time where I did have a busy life. I had a business. I was married. I had three stepsons, and it was a lot of stuff. But I was part of the church, and I was part of the community. I was the church warden there for many years, so I helped, kind of organize things and take care of finances, all that kind of stuff. But it was a peaceful. It was like an hour and a half of what I felt was really peaceful time for me on a Sunday, where I would walk to church and just kind of settle my mind. And often I would do a reading, or and I mentioned I sang in the choir and different things, but it was just a real time for me to kind of just reflect and kind of just like calm myself and for me, it was a place where, and for I think probably a lot of people, when you go to a church, it's a place where you are able to connect with God.
I think that's right. And I think as an adult with an adult mind, I think we're more able to handle the information that's coming at us and process it and connect with it the way we want to connect with it. Whereas children, I think children, whether it's religion, whether it's hate, whether it's racism, we are our parents for a long time. Like whatever our parents are, we are. And there's a lot of people that we were talking about racism. That's not the topic today, I know, but I think a lot of people that are racist were brought up racist. So it's really hard to blame them. They have to find a way to pull away from everything they were taught, you know? And I think religion can be that way. And I'm gonna say something really shallow. When I got away from religion, I can't say that it was because I all of a sudden decided I didn't want to be religious. I didn't want to get up on Sunday. I was a kid. I was lazy. I was interested in girls and motorcycles and smoking weed or whatever. I just wanted to do something else. It was a kid being a selfish, stupid kid, you know? And then as I got older, I kind of turned in more into an atheist, and I just lost all my belief. I started looking at things in a more factual way, and I just felt like it just can't be true, and you'd have to really not be that smart to believe this stuff. But then I found myself recently, even since I've been with you, starting to pull away from that opinion a little bit. Like I don't think it has to all be black or white, and I think that's why spirituality is important. I think it doesn't. It's hard to get the words out because it's a complicated subject to talk about. It's because it really is more of a feeling
It
than anything,
is.
you know.
Yeah. And I think, okay, I'll speak from my own perspective. I think for me, it's been a long process to figure out exactly who I am and who I want to be. And I think many people could fall into the same trap that, yeah, you're raised, you learn a certain set of beliefs, but it takes you a while to figure out that those beliefs don't necessarily, fully equate with who you really are. Because like you say, you're raised by parents. You then do what your parents did, and you kind of go that route. And I think that it is it comes it often comes later in life where you start to really self-reflect on like what are your core values, what is really important to you, and I think religion can offer a lot of insight into that. And studying various religions can give different ideas on how to become spiritual and how to put into practice God in your life. And I think just finishing the thought is that for a lot of people, God it's kind of this lofty idea. And I think a lot of people or some people feel like it's, not something that they need in their life. And again, totally, your thing, but there is great benefit to me in finding God and spirituality in my own life. It gives me peace.
Yes. Well, I think that's well said. And you're losing your bandwidth is almost gone there. I don't want to lose you. I don't know what happened. You were perfect, but now it was yellow. Now it's gone red, and I'm just scared it might click off. So we'll hope it doesn't. But it's a very even as we're talking, my mind keeps going back and forth through all these facts. I was thinking about being a kid and then, like as we said, learning going back to it as an adult and what we're trying to find out of it. And I remember when my kids were born, we both decided, even though we were brought up religion, and maybe because we kind of had a bad taste in our mouth on it, we decided we weren't going to give our kids any religious beliefs. We wanted them to find it on their own. I always said, if my kids found God, good for them. If they went to religion, to church, and one of my son does do some of that. But now I don't know what's right or wrong. Maybe I should have tried to teach them something. Maybe I should have pushed my beliefs harder. Now both my kids are good people, very kind people, good husbands, good sons, good people, good community people. I mean, I couldn't ask for better sons. Educated, they work well, they're good boys. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but I'm just saying, I think we did, without saying it, we did teach them values and spirituality and all that
Yeah,
without
of
putting a
course you did.
label on it. We
Yeah,
just, you know, we
of
taught them
course you
by
did.
a little bit
Yeah.
by example or whatever.
Yeah. And I would think the role of a parent isn't necessarily to help their child find spirituality or God. I mean, it's really, I think it's great if you can, but I think it is an individual journey.
Well, I think there's a real, I'm going to say this, and this is an opinion that people are going to bark at, but I've seen a couple of examples, and I won't say the names, but when they take their kids and they put them in a religion with a lot of rules and a lot of things they have to follow and the way they have to live, and these kids get a little brainwashed by it, and it's a little dangerous, in my opinion, some of it, because they really, when they really click in with it, I've heard a couple kids say
Yeah.
stuff that really scares me. And I don't mean violence scares me, but just like, oh my goodness, like they have to marry within that church and they have to, and they're shunning their kids if they're not doing this right. And they're like, just stuff that I'm like, what are you talking about? Like that kind of stuff really bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, of course, as we know, is where the kind of extremism or extremist, aspect of religion can come into place. And again, I think it's, as we've talked about with many different things, it's all about a balance, right? It's like,
Yes.
okay, well, how far do I take this? There were a couple things that I wanted that came to mind is because I said I found peace and spirituality and God in church, but as we know, many people find it in many different places. You could find it at the cemetery. And
Right.
of course, a lot of people find it in nature,
Yes. I know you connect big with that.
the idea that, yeah, just being connected to the earth. And so, and that we've talked about reverence.
Yes.
And reverence to me is a certain sense of spirituality. When you look at something and you see kind of the inner beauty of it, to me, there's a spirituality in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I put up a couple of hummingbird feeders. There's a new kind of hummingbird feeder where they can land on them, which is new. So they put their little tiny feet and they land on these little perches and they drink instead of making them fly while they're eating. And I got one like a foot outside my kitchen
Yeah.
window. And if you don't think that's spirituality to me, I don't know, man. I can watch those guys all day. I've named them, I love them, and that is nature in its finest. Like it's just they're beautiful. They're unbelievable. And then they live up here in Canada with me in the summer, and they fly to Costa Rica in the winter. Those little tiny
Yeah.
things, those little tiny, they're the size of a bug, and they fly to Costa Rica, and then the same birds come back to the same place every year. If that's not a
Yeah.
miracle, I don't know what a miracle is. That is a
And
miracle.
I think that's a beautiful story. And I think, I was in Costa Rica a few months ago, and there were literally hundreds of them flying around, and it's so beautiful. And I think when you bring that feeling to your everyday life, and part of that is like, it requires work. If you sit at your desk all day and you don't get a chance to go outside and you don't take time to go outside and connect with nature, it's going to be hard for you to do.
Yes.
But when I get up in the morning, I often go outside, pet the cat, and I just try to connect, like, with the whether it's the rising sun, or we have some beautiful trees on our property. There's a 175-year-old black walnut on the property, and it's like 14 feet around. And I just look at it, and it's like, I think when I look at it, I feel like I'm connected with that tree. I'm connected with the sky. I'm connected with the sun. I'm connected with the world and the earth. And I think that that's something that I try to focus on as a spiritual being, that everything is interconnected. And that I'm not separate from those things.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, and if you look at it, if science goes apart, I mean, we share so much DNA with most things. It's just a few little things that make us different from banana or something. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. We
Yeah.
all connected.
Yeah.
And with me and my wife, I know is the same way. We definitely feel spiritual around water, around oceans.
Me too.
I can listen to the ocean all day. I used to float in the ocean or even in my pool. I used to just float and just stare at the sky, and my ears would be covered by the water. And I've never come closer to God, I don't think, in my life. It was just the world was gone, and my weight was gone, and my pain was gone. And I'm just floating there, looking up at the sky. And it's an unbelievable feeling. And I think other people probably feel that way too, but it's amazing.
And I think there's something hugely profound about what you just said, because I think when you are in that moment, you really are in the now. You're not thinking about work, you're not thinking about what you fucked up in the past. You're just laying there in peace. And I would argue, and I know, because I know we've talked about this, that in those moments that you have peace of mind.
You're right. You're right.
And I
I don't do
think
it
that
enough.
when you recognize that, you're then able to say to yourself, okay, well, what can I do why don't I go to the ocean today and lay in the water for 20 minutes? Because in those 20 minutes, I will have that peace of mind, because you just disconnect. You become interconnected with reality, or with not re with nature, more, not reality, but the reality of nature, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And
No.
I think that that's the kind of idea, this the spirituality of that.
You're absolutely right, Chris. And you know how close I live to the ocean. And it's been years since I've been in the ocean. And I thought about it a lot this week again, because we drove by the same area. We drove by my old cottage I had as a kid, took a picture of it, and kept my cousin used to come there with us too. And the ocean was there. And all these memories flooded back of how important that was to me back then. I used to sleep on the lawn in the middle of the day, have a nap, and listen to the water. And I feel like I lost all that somewhere. I just got busy. I was a young dad, and I just got busy being busy, but anyway, that's spirituality. But I think we should switch. I got a few things I want to talk about. I could literally talk about this with you all day, but I think we should do it on our own time, because we're gonna bore some people to death. But so I looked up a few things, and I kind of wrote it down in my own words. But the difference between religion and spirituality. So they say religion's more structure, spirituality is more individual experience, which we just talked about. Religion's typically organized with established doctrines, rituals. We've said it. Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, for example, they have hierarchies like priests, imams, rabbis. And then spirituality is more personal, subjective, focuses on inner journey, connection with the divine, which you say a lot, your higher self, personal growth. I think they can be connected, but I also think they can be. I think, unfortunately, you can be really religious and not be spiritual, and you can be spiritual and maybe not find religion. I don't know. But religion has like a fixed set of facts, kind of. Like a certain religion has certain facts, and those are the facts, and that's what we're taught. Where spirituality, like we've been talking, is flexible, and the other thing too is, and I like this. I looked this up, and it really, really resonated with me. Religion has rules, and spirituality has more freedom, And I think that's why I connect more with spirituality. I think that's what it is. I've never liked being told what to do.
Nobody really does. I think that there, I mean, I think of course that it is important to have rules. We need rules in our lives. And so for some people, like I said earlier, I think it's a good start, and
Yes.
it could be a good end.
Well, a lot of people
So
find God when they're dying,
it's
I don't know.
the yeah, and that's unfortunate, because if ideally you find them while you're living, because that's kind of a better option to
Yeah.
me.
Yeah, I used to joke that I'm just going to repent on my deathbed, and I'll be fine. But I don't,
But repent for what reason?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, that's only the belief that there's a heaven and a hell. I don't actually believe that. So that's,
I don't really either, but I do wonder though, like, and this is what I looked up some of the stuff. Like, I think of religion as being structured and spirituality, more freedom, fine. But you know, like religious examples, the Lord's Prayer, which we talked about, was spiritual. You might just connect to the universe and just kind of feel a certain way. But I also know that there are some great examples of people that talk on spirituality and teach spirituality. I looked up what I just I looked it up, the three top books based on this search engine's opinion on spirituality. The number one book on spirituality is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. I know you've heard of him.
Which
You've
I've
met
read it.
many times. Oh, I know you have. I know. And then it's funny though, the second one is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, which was going to be, as you can see, my
You read that.
recommendation of
You
the week. Yeah.
I have not read that one, which I definitely will.
My wife, I've recommended this before.
Got
My wife swears by this book, like swears by it.
Well,
And
I don't have the Power of Now in front of me, but I do have A New Earth, which is his other, which is another book by Eckhart Tolle, and it's equally as good.
well, it's funny because it says, why read The Power of Now? And it says it's a practical, non-dogmatic, and transformative for personal awakening. And The Untethered Soul, it says, why read it? And it says the secular, accessible approach to spirituality rooted in self-awareness. I think that's pretty amazing. Now, the third book they
What's the third
recommended,
one?
Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramashana Yogananda. I don't know that book. And it says it's a spiritual
I don't
classic
either.
accounting of the journey through yoga, miracles, and divine encounters. And it blends mysticism with universal truths, inspiring seekers across faiths.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's I think it's
Sounds
a
great.
I think it does sound great. I think it's a little bit further down my not my
List.
desire. I think it's something I would have to build up to, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe not.
I think, yeah, I think to your point, and there are many, and I mentioned it earlier, there are a great many books on both religion and spirituality, and I think again, we try to give advice on this show, and we try to help people with their spirituality or their religious ideas. But I think, reading about different religions is a wonderful thing. I mean, we've both read The Four Noble Truths, which is Buddhism. I resonate greatly with Buddhism because I believe it's just about, it's about alignment with the planet. It's about treating everything, with respect and reverence, and it's just like liberation from suffering. Everyone suffers, but how can you get out of suffering? So, and Buddhism, as far as like worldwide religions, is like I'd number four or five. Like it's up there. Christianity's number one at 2.4 billion. I'm just quoting some stats. Islam is 2 billion. Hinduism is 1.2 billion. 520 million people practice Buddhism.
Wow.
So yeah, I think journeying into some, yeah, journeying into some of these ideologies is an important way to figure out what your version of spirituality or religion is.
And I think there's 1.6 billion Catholics. I think Catholic, I think, is still the most, even though you hear like I've seen a lot of Catholic churches being closed down and that because their attendance has come down, and Catholic churches were huge, like cathedrals, like even in small towns, like they spent a lot of money at church. But there's still a lot of people that are Catholic. You know, it's still a very, very big religion. I looked up. I was really interested.
Falls under the
Go ahead.
No, it just it falls under the heading of Christianity,
Yes.
Catholicism, of course. So you can separate it, but that's when I say there's 2.4 billion.
That's
Go ahead.
2.4 billion. Yeah, we're having a little bit of issue with connection here, so I think we're getting a bit of a delay, so that's why it sounds like we're interrupting each other.
No.
I just thought it was interesting to look up some universal mi teachers and leaders over the years, because I'm interested in that kind of stuff. Now, we went way back, like to 1207, to people I don't really know. But then there was some Eastern spirituality, like the Buddha. He was born in 563 BC. That was 2500 years ago, and there's still 500 million
I
people
know.
following his teachings. That's incredible. That's incredible. And another one was a Lao Tzu, and then Sri Rama. I'm butchering these names, but Sri Ramakrishna, who was a Hindu saint who experienced God through many. I thought that was interesting. He experienced God through many different religions. He didn't label himself as one. He had a bunch of them. And then the last thing I want to say about it was some modern spiritual leaders. Couple that I don't know and I can't pronounce a name, but one was a Zen master. But then, of course, again, Eckhart Tolle, author of The Power of the Now, and Deepak Chopra. Deepak Chopra was born in 46. But it's funny, and I want your opinion on this because I know you like Deepak Chopra. I do too. But he would he these when I looked these up, they were listed as like mystic and universal teachers, then Eastern spirituality and modern spiritual guides. And then this one was listed, and I didn't ask for this listing, it just put it down as controversial but influential. And it was Osho and Deepak Chopra. Deepak Chopra's controversial?
I wouldn't say that I know enough about him to really make a really opinionated statement on that. I think that he's can be a little technical and maybe intellectual, and maybe that's difficult for some people, but I did say that I would read a little bit from it today, but I am reading How to Know God. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know why that's in there, but I
No, I
just
know.
wanted to read a little bit
Yes, absolutely.
from the book. And towards the back of the book, he kind of gives guidelines on how to know God. And I think there's it, it's look it's valuable information, and I think before I read it, I think that, and I we've talked about this, because AA is considered a it can either be considered religious or spiritual. It depends how you take it,
Right.
because there's a lot of conversation about God. But as I've told you before, and I'm gonna preface this reading by briefly talking about Lewis Hamilton,
Love him. My favorite.
who I know you love.
Yeah.
What is tattooed on his neck?
I don't know. I've seen it, but I don't know what it is.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've never.
I mean, I think probably one of the first times I ever saw him, I saw, or maybe, I don't know, it wasn't the first time, but what it says on his neck is God is love.
Really? I have his car. Does that count? And I've got three or four cars behind me. I just always, and you know what? It's funny that's what it says, because we grew to love him. I liked him because he was fast and I liked his, but you watch him after the race, he always thanks the people and God, and he's always so soft-spoken and speaks well of the other drivers, never has negative things to say, where a lot of them are swearing and getting mad, and he just isn't like that. He's a really amazing guy.
And I totally agree, and this is why I bring it up, because to me, anyone who tattoos God is love on their neck is spiritual.
Agreed.
And I told you that when you were doing the AA steps, that you could, because you were struggling to, know God, understand God, even believe in God, and I said just replace the word God with the word love.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
So when I see Lewis Hamilton have a tattoo on his neck that says God is love, I think to myself, this guy knows what he's doing. And I think he's living in a world of love. And I've said this before because in Marianne Williamson's A Return to Love, she says that love is the opposite of fear.
Wow.
And that love is also, of course, the opposite of hate, but hate and fear are basically intertwined.
Yes.
So when I think about race car drivers and what it's like to be a race car driver, it's difficult. And if you have fear in your world, you're in trouble.
You're never going to succeed in racing. Never.
And so I think when I see, I think Lewis Hamilton is a beautiful human being, and I think he is a spiritual person. And I'm just putting my but if you tattoo God is love on your neck, you are believing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, I just want to read a little section on allowing God to take over. And it's from How to Know God by Deepak When all is said and done, either spirit has power or it doesn't. If there is only one reality, nothing in the material world stands outside God. This means that if you want something, spirit can provide it. Deciding what part you need to do and what part God will do is delicate. It also changes from stage to stage. You have to know yourself in this regard. No one else can tell you what to do. Most people are addicted to worry, control, overmanagement, and lack of faith. On a daily basis, resist the temptation to follow these tendencies. Don't listen to the voice that says you have to be in charge, that things aren't going to work out. That constant vigilance is the only way to get anything done. This voice is right because you listen to it too much. It won't be right if you let spirit try a new way. Be willing to experiment. Your intention is the most powerful tool at your disposal. Intend that everything will work out as it should, then let go and see if clues come your way. Let opportunities and openings come your way. Your deepest intelligence knows much more about what is good for you than you do. See if its voice is speaking to you. Maybe the outcome you are trying to force so hard isn't ultimately as good for you as the outcome that naturally comes your way. If you could give 1% of your life over to God every day, you would be the most enlightened person in the world in 3 months. Keep that in mind and surrender something, anything, on a daily basis.
Wow. Wow, 1% to God. There was a lot. I was trying to make notes. I'm gonna have to get that book because I just can't believe that one little reading had so much in it, Chris. It's unbelievable. Addicted, even it
I
started
know, and
off
it's a
as addicted,
320-page book.
addicted to worry. My God,
Yeah.
I'm addicted to worry. I never thought of it that way, but I am.
When I delve into this a little bit, for me, there's a lot of conflict between, to me, it's a lot of conflict between ego and spirituality because we constantly try to like figure out what it our ego needs versus what like our true self or our soul might need. And once we believe that we have a soul, then we kind of start to let go of our ego and we kind of try to live in a soulful, loving way.
Well, I
You
think you're
know?
absolutely right. That's really beautiful, Chris. You picked a great passage to read. That's what I love about doing this podcast with you is we're here trying to help other people, but it always helps me. I'm always amazed by what I get out of it. But if you really believe, I've got relatives that have blind faith, and I've talked about that before. Blind faith always amazes me because even if you talk fact to them and talk to them down, they'll finally just say, "You're not going to talk me out of it. I believe it. I believe it." And belief, faith is unbreakable. And if you really believe that your spirit lives on in some way forever. So we if you really believe
Yeah.
your spirit lives on
Yeah.
forever, forever, Chris, think about how maybe not unimportant, but how insignificant our few years on this planet is. I mean, It really,
Yeah.
it's just a blip. And you think about how many people have already lived and died, and how many people will live and die after us, and how many people are alive right now. I don't know, what is 10 billion people or something? How small a part we are. I've thought about death in the past. And I was looking out my window one day, and I was in a bad spot in my mind, and I thought, you know what? If I'm gone today, that same car is going to drive by tomorrow. That's those same houses are going to be there. The same birds are going to be flying overhead. It's like it really makes you realize that it's your consciousness, your spiritual, how you think of things. That's all you really own. Like my house, this house will still be here if I'm gone. Like it's like my sense of owning this house and my car and all that, and even my relationships. It's all really false. I don't, it's just the only thing you really own is your thoughts and your actions and your love and how you treat people. You know, they say like you measure a man's success by how many friends he has. And I think that has a lot to do with what we're talking about. I think it's about being spiritual. I think is about being a better person to yourself and to everybody else, you know, leaving a mark. My most important work in this world has been people I've helped through my addiction program, not how many mattresses I've sold, you know. Like and I don't get paid for it,
No,
but
no.
I don't know.
Yeah. I've said the quote before on the show, but you know, when you talk about like life's purpose, and it isn't it it is, and we mentioned at the beginning about kind of detachment of material things. Yeah, it's Albert Einstein. Strive not to be a success, but rather a value. And I think, you know, value comes from sharing. Not, it doesn't come from buying things. It comes from helping others, to like being interconnected with people and trying to make a difference while you're here, right?
Absolutely. And I think you know that about yourself. Like this is materialistic, but I always love Christmas and presents, but I'm not saying I mind getting a present. I like getting presents, but I love giving presents. I love the look on my family's face when I gave them something I really wanted, you know. That's what moved me was and I always remember when my daughter-in-law made me an Afghan like my grandmother had. She crocheted it herself and gave it to me, and it brought tears to my eyes. I mean, I was so moved by it, you know. And second, my wife made a quilt for my mom one time, and she broke down crying over it because it's like, you know, it's like someone's taking their time and their love to give to do something for you. It's a really good feeling. It's a really neat feeling to do, and that's a material version. But you know, I know a guy that used to walk downtown and hand out water to homeless people. Just gave them water. Here's a bottle of water, and they were really moved by that. You know, you can do such little things that make a difference, and I think it makes a difference. I think it's about what we're talking about. It's about your spirit. It's about your soul. You know.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I looked at this, again, for me, spirituality and religion are both forms of, you know, trying to move towards some sort of enlightenment. And I to me, we're light, we're energy. And you know, when we're down, when we're depressed, when we're drinking, when we're all doing all these things, we're very dark. And you know, when you realize that those things are making you dark, you can come out of that by through spirituality and find light. And you know, you mentioned, I think you were talking, I don't remember, I don't know whether you were talking about the founder of Buddhism, which, well, is Siddhartha. And he was one of the people who, you know, found enlightenment. He became enlightened.
Right.
And to me, that's about, you know, an awareness. That's about, you know, a state of being where you are in kind of total love. You're in total connectivity with everything around you, and you're in peace. You're in love with that seems weird, but you're in love with yourself, who you are. You accept everything as it is, and you transcend kind of the whole idea of materialism, and it really is about, you know, it's like heaven on earth. Yeah, I sent you that poem, that prayer this morning. It's like that, you know, that and practicing this concept daily is how you kind of move towards spirituality and peace that we talked about when you're laying in the ocean.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I think, and I think there's like our, you know, I like reading sometimes readings from indigenous people, like, because they were so, even before the British and the white man came over here, I mean, they were so attached to the land and the animals and the moon and the sky, and they lived with it, and they, instead of against it, you know, it was like they were part of the nature and part of, I think that's why they were so spiritual and so, and they had rituals, but it was always to do with their spirit and their elders and their elders that were gone. And you know, I think as a people, the indigenous people could teach us a lot if we would open up our ears and listen to them, you know. I don't know. I don't know.
No question. No question. I mean, we're very much not connected to the earth as much as certainly as indigenous people were, and you know, it's become a lot of you know about materialism, and it's unfortunate for sure that's the case, but
Yeah.
we can
Anyway,
only do our bit
that's it.
personally.
We only can do what we can do. I want to wrap this up, but yeah, I don't think I like the way it went today, because I didn't want to come off as I was against anything or like against religion. And I think with me, it's always just asking questions. That's what I'm doing here today, is saying what I feel, but just asking questions to myself and to you and to the whoever's listening, just about all of it. I mean, there's so much to take in. I think it can sometimes clutter our mind. There's so many different things, and sometimes you get lost trying to figure out which one's right, you know. And I don't know if the answer is to find something you believe in and really stick with that, or should you always be constantly searching, trying to just find a little bit from here and there. I don't know what the answer is, but we're going to today was our 40th episode, which is I think incredible.
Excellent.
I'm very proud of that. Your birthday's this week, so happy birthday. Well, I think our podcast is the day after
Thank
your
you.
birthday next week, so we'll do a little celebration for you next week. And we're going to talk about we're going to do some your idea was we're going to do something a little different next week. We're going to talk about the Four Agreements. That's a book that my dad read, and we lived it as a religion for years in my house. And you've gotten into it recently, and you've gotten me back into it. And I think we're going to just discuss it. It's a very powerful book. It's a very powerful message. And I think it's something that maybe it's very nice. I think it's something we have to share. I think it's a very good thing to share and talk about.
It's a wonderful daily philosophy on how you can live and how you can feel better about yourself and treat other people. I think you know, you're saying you lived it as a religion, which again almost creates some constraints, but it offers four ideas that really, yeah, I think if you practice those things on a daily basis, you can live a very spiritual and very kind of mindful life. And just before we go, you know, I just want to reiterate some of the things that I try to put into practice on a daily basis to be spiritual. Meditation, as I've mentioned before, stillness, like calm mind. I try to set like kind of daily intentions, and we've done this in the past. Gratitudes are wonderful. When you're grateful, it's just a more peaceful existence. Being in nature is an amazing way to find some spirituality, acts of compassion, which you talked about, just doing good things for other people, you know, maybe journaling. These are all things that you can do that really can provide just little steps towards a spiritual life.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, Chris. I know as a kid I used to do my daily devotions, and that was based on, you know, we were Baptist and that, but it was a good practice. I talked, you know, I did my devotion every day, my devotion book, and it was little prayers and thoughts to Jesus, but it was all good stuff. And I think you can do that in a
Mm-hmm.
different way, as being spiritual. So, I already did my recommendation of the week.
Yeah.
It was The Untethered Soul, by Michael Singer. If anyone hasn't checked it out,
Awesome.
it's not a hard read. It's an easy read. It's not
I'm
that big.
almost sad I haven't read that.
Yeah, I think you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Thank you.
Well, listen.
I got mine too, of course, you
Yeah.
know that. Yeah. I don't know, God.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it. You never know. My wife could have it kicking around here somewhere. I know she used to do daily meditations with Deepak Chopra. It was something she used to get every day on her phone. So I know she thinks a lot of him. So I'll talk to her and see if she might have that book kicking around. But if not, I'll find it. I got to catch up on my reading because I also have my Spider-Man comics to keep up with too. I got other things I have to read, right? So
Right.
it's very
Take
important.
care of yourself. Why
I
do the
got to.
things you love, man. That's good.
Absolutely.
It's all good.
Absolutely. Well, listen,
Yeah.
stay gold, Pony Boy. You have a good week.
Thank you. You too.
I'll be talking to you, I'm sure. Okay.
I will have as good a week as I make it.
Yeah, well, what do they say? Take care, and if
How's
you
that
can,
sound?
take care, and if you can, take care of somebody else too. What the heck?
Beautiful.
Oh,
Thank you.
I'm a little. I apologize to everybody. We're having a little bit of connection issues this week. We'll try to fix that for next week. But anyway,
Yeah.
everyone have a good week.
Interesting. Interesting because it's been fine from my end, but
Well.
I can tell that you have a delay in hearing me. Yeah.
Have you been able to see
So.
me the whole time, my video? Can you see me? Have I had any problems?
100%, no problem.
Yeah, like you've been frozen for the last half hour.
Oh no.
Yeah, just your video, not your voice. Your voice has been fine, but it says you have no,
Okay.
your screen got small and you're just not really moving. So I'm probably going to just publish this audio. Anyway, we'll
All
talk
right.
about it after. All right. Love
My
you.
bad. Okay. All
No
right.
problem. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah.
All right. See you there, buddy.
See you, brother.